Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am back from Bugfest. And man, did we have a blast. Bubble Boy was there with me. He is in the studio. How are you, buddy?
I'm still recovering, Greg.
Still recovering from Bugfest?
Yes.
And why exactly? Because you didn't catch any bugs.
Didn't catch any bugs, but yeah. I caught
a few balls of scotch. Were you too busy catching all the bugs there?
Lobster Slayer was the appropriate title today, Bill.
How many did you get?
Oh, I think he limited out.
On the radio, I will definitely limit out, and I allowed the scuba cowboy on his first lobster outing to catch two bugs.
But then you confiscated those from him immediately.
Well, yeah, we ate them. We ate them at the Gomez Hilton. We served them up as appetizers.
So you had 14 lobsters to share amongst how many of you were there?
There's like, I don't know, five of us thereabouts.
That's a lot of lobster. No wonder you're recovering. Yeah. That's rich. It's a rich diet to have all that lobster. Greg's 12 and then Pup's 2.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the ladies showed up later in the evening.
Yeah, no, man, they could chow down on lobster.
I understand.
They ate it all.
Like mermaids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's
really
the story.
So really had two lobster, huh?
Shush. We got more important things to discuss besides how many lobster we caught. That's really not. It's about the journey, not the catching or the destination. I don't know.
Good old Greg is back.
All right, so we got a lobster season to talk about. We got to talk about the premiere of Sharknado 3, which
no, we
touched
don't.
On last week. But because I was at Bugfest, I was focused on bugs and trying
stupidity.
To lay low, as opposed to getting caught up in all the Hollywood glitz and glamour that's associated with being a big movie star on Sharknado 3. To help me to cover that aspect of it, and then some, we have Jerry the Diver Guy and Pete from Scuba Board on via the web. Guys, how are you? Check in and say hi.
What's going on?
¿Qué
pasa?
Yes. So Pete is down in the Keys. Jerry is in the mountains of Virginia. And both of them have had the opportunity now to digest my appearance in Sharknado 3. It is true. The
you mean regurgitate, don't you?
Yeah, I was going to say, digest is not the right
digest
way.
Digest is putting a little bit,
Well, if you just threw up a little in your mouth, that's okay. That was kind of what I was going for in my performance. As long as I got a reaction.
I think they could have taken that scene out of The Omen back again with that.
Which scene is that? What is he referring to?
Where you have the puke that goes out 30 feet.
Oh, wait, you're talking about the Exorcist.
Yeah.
Oh, The Exorcist, like Exorcist Omen.
Yeah, okay.
One or the other.
Well, any movie that involves regurgitation is what you're saying my performance lent itself to, is what you mean? Is that what you're
actually,
trying to
say? I found your performance real to life. You look like a sweaty, stinking tourist.
Thank you. That's what I was going for, and I've said it before. I was almost kicked off the set three separate times because the security people that were watching the set actually thought I was a sweaty Florida tourist, which I did play, for the record. Now I can say it officially, now that it's aired. I played sweaty Florida tourist 1, 2, and 3. And
actually, you forgot the clueless part that was part of the description.
Well,
clueless, sweaty.
That was kind of a subliminal.
That was not subliminal.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
May I have the envelope, please?
Yeah.
And the Oscar.
Yeah.
for guy standing in the background.
Yeah.
Goes to.
Oh my God, I can't wait.
Jimmy the Bubble Boy.
Thank you.
Jimmy the Bubble Boy for not being in Sharknado 3.
I was robbed. Yeah, I know we have fun here. But seriously, all the pictures.
The grand total of 9 seconds of your film time.
No. Hold on.
Captured in photographs.
Don't laugh.
It's 9.5 seconds.
Exactly. See, Jerry timed.
You got to start somewhere.
I got more screen time than Jerry Springer did. Literally. When you look at when you add it all together, there's actually a scene where I lead with my best side, which would have been my ass, right there. When they're shooting in front of the disaster ride at Universal Studios Florida, that's where you will see my butt.
This is also the scene where you've got the Universal bag.
Yes. Yeah.
This is the scene with the Universal bag. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
Because I think it leads to how good of a performance mm-hmm. you were able to generate, how good your acting is.
Right.
What was in the bag?
A mask, fins, and snorkel.
Was there's no way that that bag had a mask, a fin, and a
snorkel. How would you know?
Because
Hollywood magic, Bill. Come on.
What was it for Scuba Steve? Was it Scuba Steve's mask, fin, and snorkel?
I was just doing a little plug in there for Scuba Radio. I was just trying to represent.
I thought the bulge was pretty obvious, actually.
Yeah. I think it was a urostomy.
Well, that was a snorkel in my shorts. Actually, I was wearing long pants, but that would explain it, too.
Oh, dear God.
Well, yeah. Well, and also, which explains why I had my back to the camera.
Yep.
That's a story I'm going to go with. All but right, anyway, that whole segment right there, right in front of the disaster ride.
At least they did catch the best side of you.
Well, they did. As soon as they show the sign of the disaster ride, they actually pan up from my butt up to the sign of the disaster ride, and then they're in the queue line, and they're going back and forth with a little conversation, and I'm in the background while this conversation's going on for a few seconds. And while this happens, I did find, or I should say one of the listeners actually found a still of me looking at the camera, which, is a Bush League mistake. But it was my first outing. Cut me some slack. But I did kind of get this one point where I looked at the camera and go, hey, I'm on TV, kind of deal. And we have the still up there at scubaradio.com.
Yeah. That's so awesome.
I still
remember. We've been talking about you on the Scuba Board, dude.
Oh, really? What were they saying, Pete? What have been the reviews?
I don't think I could say that over the air.
Can you clean it up and replace four-letter words with the word scuba or something, maybe?
How about LOL, LOL, LOL?
Okay. I'm going for, it's supposed to be a comedy.
They thought that your enunciation was perfect and that your words were spoken excellently.
Well, there you
go.
He
has no lines.
Well,
exactly. And he did not fail in
his
delivering them. Correct.
I think you had a very authentic
accent. It was flawless.
Accent
Thank
in
you,
your
Pete.
Non-delivered line.
Yes. Okay.
Well,
Bubble
Greg,
Boy.
One has to ask, did you get, as an actor mm-hmm. and a thespian, did it bother you that Bo Derek and Tara Reid just, they kept getting in the way of your shot? Did you have like a meltdown like Christian Bale while you were there?
You know, I'm a giving actor, and I want to support my fellow.
Wants to share.
Herpes.
Yeah.
Syphilis. He gives a lot.
Thank you. I don't know who's giving to who when you're talking about those two. But anyway. No,
Tara Reid is like an all-you-can-eat buffet of
syphilis.
So we still wonder if she's going to make the next movie. They're going to kill her.
She better not, because if she does, I'm not making it. That's for sure after that last comment, Bill. Thanks.
Just saying.
Anyway, it was a hoot. And, I did get in the movie, which, honestly, I got to tell you, before it aired, I honestly didn't know what would happen. We talked about it a little bit. It was fun to be there for the day of shooting with the Sharknado cast. They were very friendly folks, and it was just cool to see and to participate in. I showed up on Tara Reid's Instagram account.
Yes, you did.
And that was kind of nice and
Yeah,
fun.
It was nice, except for that the tagline, if you see this man, call 911.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that or you're stalking Tara Reid, nice man boobs. I could have done without some of the comments that were posted on Facebook and stuff, but whatever.
Silver alert.
It just goes with the territory.
Silver
alert. You shake it off.
I like that silver alert. That was good.
Yeah, not really funny. Anyway, so regardless, it was a blast. And the fact nice that job, I actually Jimmy. Showed up in the film and that this will live on in infamy is kind of scary. But kind of a you know something that I can check off the list. And who knows what could happen for Sharknado 3. I mean, 4. Because I made it. I survived it.
I
was not killed in Sharknado 3.
Sharks in space, space.
Exactly. It's going to happen. It could happen. Yes, Bill?
Oh, wait a minute. They did that already.
Well, they just started it. Yeah, but...
You know, this is the launching pad. I like to think of this as the bosom buddies of your career. And you are really very much like Peter Scolari. So I look forward to you in New Heart 3.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Attention divers, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device any Beyond Boundaries diver needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/scuba to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Instead of letting live sharks rain down on people,
shark!
We're going to get in that chopper
shark!
And throw bombs into the tornadoes,
shark!
Blasting those bastards to bits.
Shark!
There are sharks flooding the streets.
Go, 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 go. We're all going to die in a sharknado, sharknado.
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 Yeah, Sharknado 3 premiered, just over a week ago, and I was down in Fort Lauderdale for Bugfest, and not really able to talk about it that much on the show last week, so we had to get it out there today. Bill, yeah? You're honored
okay,
to
so,
be here with me now?
Is that so I'm
yeah.
So happy I
speechless.
Missed it. But is that actually a clip from Sharknado 3? We're going to throw hand grenades into... The tornadoes, the sharknadoes.
That clip was from one or two, I believe.
Okay.
But as far as throwing,
because clearly the actor was smiling when mm-hmm. he said it. I could hear he was smiling when he said it because even he knows how stupid this is, and he cannot possibly defeat the stupid.
Well, you know, throwing a hand grenade into a Sharknado to destroy it is one thing. In Sharknado 3, the guy from Shark Tank what's his name?
Who Cuban?
Plays? Yeah, Mark Cuban plays a president. He throws a hand grenade in a shark. I mean, and displays superhuman skills in the film in Sharknado 3. There's quite a few little twists, and cute, you know, including sharks in space, which Pete alluded to, you know, earlier. I don't want to be a spoiler.
They're on the TIE
here,
fighter.
They're what?
They're on the TIE fighter. They go spinning out.
If you say no. Yeah. No.
I have to admit, Bill has a point. And unfortunately, he doesn't have enough hair to cover it over.
I have a point. That's why I wear a hat.
Okay.
Comb over.
Yeah, if you say so.
Sorry, that had to be said. Now earlier, someone had a complaint amongst us while we were off the air, had a complaint about this, and I think that complaint should be aired right now.
Okay, complaint about Sharknado 3 or the
about
fact that
Sharknado
I was in it?
About Sharknado 3.
What about it? What's the problem?
Was there something about the science with which you disagreed? Was there something about the biological
the
study?
The complaint.
Okay, what's the complaint? And where did it come from? What, was it on Scuba Board or something?
I think
or what?
It was Jerry who said it. Wasn't it you who said it, Jerry?
What?
Yes, it was.
What is your comment about Sharknado 3 and my appearance in it?
Well, I think you should have got 8.
I agree.
Oh, you think I should have been 8? Well, you know, if I would have been eaten, then...
Let the truth be told.
I wouldn't have been able to have a shot at Sharknado 4. So, you know, I survived... And Sharknado 3.
Now, I didn't
so
see
potentially true make, shark in awe.
I did not. Oh, I did not see any sharks in any of the clips which you were involved in. No sharks.
Well, because
but
they didn't want
the opening
sharks.
Scene of number 4. Greg,
that's
cutting
right.
Yourself out.
Yeah, they didn't want to kill me off that quickly because you know there's only so much you know talent available. When you find a great sweaty Florida tourist, you don't want to just kill him outright.
Especially when we're talking about Greg, there's very little talent available.
Okay, thank you. I think I don't know, but yeah, it was a hoot. But you know, the thing is that Sharknado 4 has already been slated for release next summer, and this is talking to about making it into an annual event.
What has
ratings, man? Ratings.
What has happened to us? What has happened to us
as
a species?
Oh, spoken like a true media critic who hasn't even watched it.
And I won't, because it is, and there's a word for it, stupid.
Okay. Well, that's what
I
we're thought going
you,
for.
I thought you...
We were trying to create the worst movie ever made. I think we achieved.
I don't know. I don't know.
You wouldn't know because you didn't watch it.
I've seen Plan 9 from outer space.
Yeah. I'm telling you, it's given Plan 9 for Outer Space a definite run for its money.
Well, I certainly hope in the next movie Donald Trump is president.
Well, true. Yeah.
And he's eaten by Mark Cuban. Oh, no, he's made into a Cuban and then eaten by the entire cast as a sandwich.
You know what? I ought to put you in touch with the writing staff.
It's fathomable.
Anyway, you know, bringing this back to diving, honestly, the reason I got involved in the first place was because Jaws and all this nonsense from the past, you know, we're celebrating the 40-year anniversary of Jaws, and the reality is things have changed. Yeah, but they have changed after 40 years. I mean, there's a big article in the latest issue of Dive Training Magazine talking about just that. And when the Sharknado thing came on a few years ago, I got to tell you, before it aired, everybody was a bit worried who got wind of this Sharknado thing phenomenon coming on TV, thinking like, oh, God, what are we? We got another Jaws coming. This is going to be bad for sharks and the industry, the dive industry and that kind of thing. And it ends up it's just a big goof. And have we kind of turned a corner when it comes to this type of Hollywood nonsense that, you know, it's absurd. It's not based in any kind of reality, despite all the shark attacks and news that we got over the last few months. That's even died off because of all the political stuff, I think, and some other news, which is a good thing. But as far as Hollywood is concerned, is there really anything they could do to hurt us? In that regard, like back in the day of Jaws, I kind of think maybe we've evolved enough where we can put out a movie like Sharknado, make fun of it, joke about it, and use the publicity to shine a small spotlight on diving and the fact that you know, sharks are out there and there's nothing to really worry about them other than them falling out of the sky and the Sharknado. And if you believe that's going to happen, then, you know, there's no talking any sense to you about sharks or the ocean and that kind of thing as far as from an ecological or real standpoint. So there you go. You think?
So what you're saying is that...
Okay, please, Pete, make some sense of what he said. The credibility of the argument.
Yeah.
The credibility of having massive sharks attacks equates to your own credibility, which is next to nothing.
No, that's not what I was saying. You didn't hear me.
I think he may have heard you altogether too well.
I think I heard you well.
I think I need to start channeling Donald Trump with this crew. Listen to me, you morons. You're just plain stupid. No, here's the thing. I just think that we can make fun of this, and that's the whole point, and just use the publicity to educate folks about the reality when you have that opportunity. Why not leverage the exposure Sharknado gets and use it and twist it and flip it into a positive for diving and for sharks when you have that opportunity? Because it's so absurd. No one would take this serious that has a brain on their... has a decent brain in their head. You know what I'm saying, Bubble Boy?
Oh, yeah, Greg. You know, the way I look at it, I don't look at the original Jaws anymore the way I used to, because of all the footage we've seen with sharks breaching the water and flying through the air, then I watch Jaws, and I'm like, he looks like an overweight, sad, lonely shark that's just gasping for attention.
Yeah, true. It's emotion. I don't know what that was, but that was Bubble Boy. That's what we typically get. And we'll just have to deal with it accordingly. All right? All right. We got more coming up. Dan Tippin and lobster diving to discuss next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
Now, there's been a lot of crazy things going on here connected with Scuba Radio lately. Me being in Sharknado 3, having a blast down there at Bugfest. We're going to talk about that more here in just a bit. But I want to tease a very big announcement that we hope to make next Saturday on the show live. I'm not sure it's going to be ready to make public to the world just yet, but this is good stuff. Big stuff you're going to want to pay attention to. But there is something I can share today. And we've been talking about this for the last few months, actually, a project that the Scuba Radio crew has been working on with our good friend Eric Douglas, who is a really great writer. I mean, he is just phenomenal when it comes to writing these thrillers that have a diving element in them. His Mike Scott series is just really impressive. You can go to booksbyeric.com and check it out. However, he has this other series called the Withrow Key series. And as part of his 9th release in that series of books that Eric has written, he has incorporated the Scuba Radio crew into the story. We have seen it. We have helped him develop this storyline a little bit with as far as the character development that he literally used Bubble Boy, used myself, Bill's in it, the Scuba Cowboy, the entire crew, or a bunch of us, as well as some mermaids and that kind of thing, into this really interesting plot line that I think you'll find quite amusing at the bare minimum. And it is now officially available on pre-order on Amazon.com. There's a link to it right there at scubaradio.com, and that'll take you to this Amazon page where you can pre-order the book that'll be out in about a week. But if you do pre-order it, you'll save $1 right now. So go there, go to scubaradio.com, click on the link, order Lionfish. That's the name of this new book that Eric has written that is now available for pre-order and discounted on Amazon.com for a week. There you go. You got a little tip. Save some money, and it'll amuse yourself. It'll amuse a few hours of reading for sure. And I think you're going to like it. I love it. But maybe that's just me and this whole movie star thing, Sharknado. Sure, it's going to my head, of course. What else would you expect? More coming up after a Dan Tip.
is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 355. You can't jump a dead car battery with a couple of electric eels. Believe me.
You think so?
I know what I'm talking about.
Some of us feel differently.
Trust me. So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. How are you, Nick?
I'm great, Greg. How about you?
Mostly good.
What's the matter?
Well, nothing specific, but just something's bugging me.
Help me out here.
Well, I heard this guy in a store earlier today, and I heard him talking about this great new boat he's got and how he's going to go take all his friends diving.
Wow, that sounds great.
Yeah, well, he started talking about how great it would be not to have to dive from a charter boat. He and his friends could now, and I quote, get nuts.
Thinking like that is nuts. Diving from a private boat is no different than diving anywhere else, and good divers know that.
Why don't we run through what boat owners and their diving friends might want to keep in mind?
Sure. The first thing to keep in mind is that while diving from a private boat can be a great adventure, it also means great responsibility. You're essentially diving without a safety net, and so all the planning, safety considerations, emergency procedures, and everything else is on your shoulders.
So where do we start?
I think we should start with the boat itself. Like the dive gear, you need to make sure your boat is properly and routinely maintained, and it should meet all licensing and registration requirements. And that goes for the boat captain as well.
And if the boat is sound?
Stock it with all the standard safety gear you'd have on a traditional charter boat. In addition to the standard marine equipment, like life jackets, fire extinguishers, and radios, there should be a first aid kit on board, and ideally, an emergency oxygen unit.
What about dive flags, marker buoys, that sort of thing?
All of the above, especially since in most waters, it's required that boats with divers in the water fly a flag to indicate it.
Okay, so assuming the boat has safety gear for every contingency.
Make sure there's someone on board who knows how to use it. The captain is an obvious choice, but there should be someone else who knows basic first aid and how to use the oxygen kit as well. If only one person has been formally trained, have that person give at least the basics during the dive briefing.
So you're in favor of a dive briefing, even on a private boat?
Absolutely. I don't care where you're diving. In any group setting, a dive briefing is essential. In the case of diving from a private boat, it's no different than a charter. The captain should review the basics on the boat, both in terms of how to find everything, as well as what procedures are to be followed. And that includes the plan of how the day will progress and the emergency plan.
What about when you're on site? What considerations do you have to keep in mind?
Even though the considerations of diving from a private versus charter boat are the same, there are a few differences. Private boats are often not built specifically for diving, so you'll have to think about how you'll enter and exit the water. Especially exiting, ladders on private boats are not usually as easy to climb as those on a charter boat, so you'll want to think through your reboarding strategy before you get into the water. Dive lines are another consideration. They're unlikely to be as extensive as on a charter boat, but you should at least have a drift line in the water for divers who surface and get caught in a current.
What about a bubble watcher?
That's an excellent point. When you're planning the dive, you absolutely should decide who will be staying on board to tend to things topside.
Is it really necessary? I mean, as long as you double-check the anchor line,
Anchors come undone. Storms arise, conditions shift, and divers surface far away. There are a lot of things that can occur that can be contained as small problems if you have someone on board that can respond quickly and efficiently.
So make sure that person you leave to tend the boat knows what he's doing.
Yes. He or she should be completely familiar and comfortable with handling the boat, executing the dive and emergency procedures, and generally being the topside support.
Sounds like a lot to consider. Might be more trouble than it's worth.
No, when you get down to it, it's still all about the dive safety essentials: planning, preparation, and communication. No matter where you're diving, you still have to be thorough in your planning, and you still have to take the time to prepare properly. You still have to talk the plan through with the rest of the group, and you still have to make sure there is safety equipment on hand and that someone knows how to use it. Every dive requires that same care and approach, and we know how worth it they are.
You're right. You know, the boat show is in town.
Let's go!
Diving from a private boat can feel like the epitome of diving independence. But remember, going out on your own means that you're on your own in terms of planning and execution. You know what to do, though. Think the day through like you do every dive day, and don't be afraid to talk to your fellow boat captains to make sure you thought of it all. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We're back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Okay, so we're coming out of a Divers Alert Network safety tip. And, you know, one of the things we talked about before lobster mini season and going down to Bugfest was the fact that Dan put out a nice little poster to set up at all the dive shops across the country. In Florida in particular, talking about being safe, work on your skills, because on average, two divers die every single Florida lobster season during mini season. It's a tragic number that we need to fix. And I don't know, Pete from Scuba Board, I don't know what you heard, but I heard that actually this year we might have gotten away with no fatalities. Is that what you've heard too, or what have you been hearing on Scuba Board?
We had deaths before mini season. We had deaths right after mini season from careless boaters.
Right.
But none during mini season from divers being in the water getting hit, which is great. This is the second year in the last dozen where that's happened.
Right. So that's a good thing. You know, maybe that thing from Dan helped a little bit. Just, you know, it's a constant reminder because you see so many people out there that have not scuba dived for a while, let alone the boaters, and that's where the problem comes into even more play too, because the boaters aren't as familiar with the dive flags and the regulations and that kind of thing. But you also have the divers that this is the first time they've dove in a long time. Even in our crew, when we were down at Bugfest, you know, CJ and Bubble Boy had not been in the water for a while, and we kind of went over some, you know, elementary, you know, signals and calls and things like that. I said, okay, let's stay on our toes. It's been a while. Make sure you don't lose the fact that, we want to go catch some lobster, but we really want to dive.
Yeah, Greg, the bigger danger was heat stroke when we weren't in the water. It was so
true.
Hot.
It was one of the hottest lobster mini seasons that I can remember in South Florida. I mean, it was hot, muggy.
Upper 90s.
90s. Yeah, it was crazy.
No wind.
No wind, exactly.
No wind. So which made seas flat. This is the first time I dove lobster mini season in salt water, but I didn't do the mini season part. We were diving wrecks. Mm. We usually do something safe like go cave diving. Yeah. But it was perfectly flat. It was awesome. Beautiful weather.
Yeah, it was. You know, and last year was kind of that way too. I don't think it was as hot. From what I recall, but as far as the conditions and the waves, actually last year might have even been better in South Florida because it was even flatter. They had some wind coming in a little bit depending on the time of day, chopping things up a little bit, along the beach there at Lauderdale by the sea, but it was still very, very acceptable conditions. And obviously that, you know, if the conditions are good, that makes it probably easier to manage for a lot of the divers. And I'm sure there could be a correlation with that as well. You know, people getting in over their head.
And there has to be because, you know, like you said, there were no real fatalities this year. The Captain Morgans, the Ensign Budweisers were able to see the divers better because it was so flat.
Right. Exactly. So that's a good thing, and we'll take it because it is about having fun, but also about being safe as well. Now, Jerry the Diver Guy was planning to come down to Bugfest, but you ended up having to work. Is that the deal, Jerry? You ended up having a last-minute class or something of some scuba instruction that you had to execute. Is that the deal or what? What happened?
Well, somebody's got to learn them how to dive.
Someone's got to learn them. Absolutely. And that's what happened?
Yeah.
You taught an entire...
Yeah, I had five come in.
Five of them. So
I had five people come in, yes.
Yeah. And on top of everything else, it was your birthday, bud. So happy birthday a few days late. And you recruited...
Well, thank you all.
Did you make them your students...
Where's my present?
Well, I was going to say, did you make your students, like, give their instructor something extra? Little, grease the wheel, so to speak?
Nudge, nudge. Know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One of them. Yeah.
Well, they gave me something nice, that's for sure.
They did, which was what? What'd they give you? Can you share or no?
Green. It was green.
Okay. That's what it matters. Green. That's what matters. So,
had zeros on it.
Okay. And that's the best kind of gift you can get for sure. So you were doing like classroom stuff, but because I saw something on Facebook that you're getting ready to do some, you got to take them out to do some certification dives, or did you already do that and you were asking me?
Yeah. We done it last week. We actually done all pool work the first of the week, and then I took off to North Carolina and done a few dives down there, and
yeah.
Went to Carowinds, and then we finished up pool work that week, and my birthday, I went to Dollywood.
Dollywood! Oh, there's two big reasons to go to Dollywood, and we'll talk about that next. Stay close.
You like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy. And this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
Before you jet off to your next exotic dive destination, brush up on your scuba skills with Paddy Reactivate. The all-new Reactivate program is designed to update divers on the fundamental scuba skills and dive principles, giving you the skills you need to jump back in and dive with confidence. Show off your new Paddy Replacement Certification card and your refreshed skills on your trip when you reactivate. Contact your local Paddy Dive Center, resort, or instructor and get started today.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. And enjoy the great outdoors.
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
It's a symbiotic relationship. I'm a mighty great white shark lemon, and you are a remora clinging to me with your suction cup head. I give you a free ride, and in exchange, you, eat my parasites.
Baby, there's a shark in the water. There's something underneath my head. Oh, please believe I said. Baby, there's a shark in the water. I caught them barking at the moon. Better be soon.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master along with Bubble Boy. He is here helping out in the studio. And then online we have Jerry the Diver Guy and Pete from Scuba Board. Now we're also joined by our good buddy Steve from Bugfest, who you may have caught last week on the big show. He was our host for the big event down there at Lauderdale by the Sea. Steve, welcome. How are you, buddy?
Thanks. I'm doing good, Greg. How are you?
Well, I'm great. But you, however, were working like a dog and trying to pull off this event, which, by the way, I think was a huge success on all levels from what I saw. I mean, bigger crowds and everybody seemed to have a big old time. We had great diving conditions and all kinds of stuff. But it was hot. And
I think the weather is definitely getting a little warmer, and July is definitely a warm month for Floridians, that's for sure. But you know what? We had a great season. There were no fatalities, and that's the most important part.
Absolutely.
And everybody had a great time, which is also a big part of Bugfest, too.
Yes. You know? Now, when we did the show last week, we had our Thursday night party, and then we had a thing on Saturday where the Scuba Cowboy played and had a... There was a barbecue and a concert, and they had some booths set up. It was kind of a kids' family fun day or something like that, right?
Yeah. We had Stoked on Salt is a local ocean apparel company in Fort Lauderdale, and they helped us organize a family fun day with nautical arts and crafts for kids. There was some paddle boarding, there was some snorkeling, treasure hunting. So that was some stuff for the kids to do.
Yeah, and but people should not wait until Bugfest to come down there and experience what you got there at Lauderdale by the Sea. And Pete, I got to ask you, from Scuba Board, have you been down there to dive? Have you dove off the coast of Lauderdale by the Sea or no? What do you think? Pete, where are you? Did I lose Pete? Maybe we lost Pete.
We've lost him.
I found my way back.
Oh, okay. I couldn't get
to my button on my microphone quick enough.
Yes, well, it's the distance between his microphone and the restroom is a distance. And there's a
actually, I was on another page reading some stuff off of Scuba Board.
Yeah, so that's a way to cover. No worries. Have you been to Lauderdale by the Sea?
I have. And it's wonderful diving. You've got two reefs. You got one very close in the shore, and you swim out about another 100-150 feet, maybe, and you got a second one. It's really awesome. I've taught classes there.
Yeah, oh, you have taught. So you've been there to dive. You just haven't done it a lot, then, is what you're saying.
I haven't done it since I've moved to Key Largo.
Okay, well, yeah, but this is easier than even where you're at. You still got to take a boat to get to most of the places where you dive. At Lauderdale by the Sea, you just go right off the beach.
I dove in Jules' underwater habitat today.
Okay.
No boat required.
Well, no, yeah, but still, that you don't have the beach like you do up there in South Florida where Steve is located. And that's the attraction.
I have nice steps, and I'm able to walk into the water easily. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to turn this into Battle of the Dive Sites, it sounds like, Steve.
Hey, you know what, though? I will say this. People who come to the Keys for mini season, they've got to have something twisted in their head because we don't have the double limit that everywhere else in Florida has.
Well,
why are you coming down here to only get six?
Right. Yeah, you know, it is kind of an advantage to go to a place like Lauderdale by the Sea because literally you can get 12 lobster. And this year they
13
had
13 if you catch lionfish.
Well, exactly, right. If you catch 10 lionfish, for every 10 lionfish, you can get one extra lobster. Now, I was a little confused on how it worked a little bit because somebody told me that you could catch 10 lionfish on a boat and get one extra lobster, but if you caught 20, that didn't necessarily mean you could get two more lobster. So
that's correct.
So yeah, I don't know why
it increased only one lobster was the max increase you could
have. That was the only it was only
that's
one
really
bonus.
Not that hard to understand.
Well, yeah, but I mean, why not go higher? I don't know. I didn't hear of many people going for the 10 lionfish. And I'll tell you, at Lauderdale by the Sea, and credit to them in the area, I didn't see that many
lionfish.
Either.
I didn't see one.
Yeah, did you? Yeah,
I went diving Wednesday, and we went off. We did a boat dive, a private boat dive, and we were in about 60, 70 feet of water, and I didn't see anything. One of my friends saw one. That was it.
Yeah. So you know, but those are more populated diving areas, and I think maybe you know the words got out to the local spear fishermen and the divers that are trying to keep them at bay into the popular sites. And maybe that is starting to pan out some results in the area, which
I think
is good.
Deeper wreck.
Go to a deeper wreck, and you'll see them all over them.
Well, that's it. When you go to places that divers don't frequent because of depth or whatever, yeah, the lionfish are out there. But at least they're getting, keeping them at bay in certain high population diver areas.
That
would only be good. I mean, one of the theories is you're almost creating underwater marine protected area for the other fishes by doing such activities.
Right,
so I don't know.
Right.
Time will tell whether or not that's helping or what, but on the plus side, it's good from an environmental standpoint. If you were trying to get extra lobster, you might have been out of luck. I don't know. Did you hear anybody down there in the Keys doing that, Pete, or no?
Not really, but it's sort of an aside about this. The lionfish have helped the lobster recuperate here or recover here, because the lobster fishermen are actually setting deep traps to go for lionfish and not so much for lobster anymore. So they're catching more lionfish and less lobster.
Okay.
And that's
well,
good.
That sounds like a fair trade-off. We'll take it.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, you ought to go to Lauderdale by the Sea. And, Steve, we look forward to being at Bugfest next year. And, you know, we'll sweat off a few more pounds then, too. But it'll be well worth the effort, I think. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It makes many seasons much more fun. Many seasons are already fun, but it makes it that much more fun when you come to our event. You
know? Absolutely. Yeah, lauderdalebythesea.gov or org, or just Google it. You'll find them. All right, we got hour two of Scuba Radio on deck. That's coming up next. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They're not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.